Please keep this message in mind about God's amazing grace and His amazing love, because that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. The first year of marriage is called a honeymoon, because that first year everything's supposed to be sweet like honey, and all the kindness and everything that the man shows toward the lady have to happen during that year. The rest, but as that first year, okay, the ideal is for that 1 year to continue. And after 30 years, how long have you been married? Oh, we've had a 30-year honeymoon. We've had a 40-year honeymoon. We had a 55-year honeymoon. We've had a 10-year, 12-year, 14, 16, 18. That's the ideal. You know, when we come to Jesus, we're on fire. It's kind of like a honeymoon with Jesus. You could tell the person that has just been baptized into the Adventist church, because they're the ones bugging you to go out door to door, or go out and then share, or go out and you. When we come to know the truth about Sabbath, sometimes it's sort of like the same thing off. The Sabbath. Wow. Amazing. Praise the Lord for the Sabbath. And as time goes on, 10, 12, 14, 16, 40, 50 years. The Sabbath. Huh? Oh, yeah, the Sabbath. Sometimes we forget that the Sabbath is going to play a most important role in these end times. April 22, 2012. FoxNews.com. Gracie Morey handed me this. It's an article, and the title of this article, "Let's Make Sunday Our Day of Rest for God's Sake." Okay. You could go and read it. I'm not going to read all of it, but here's the appeal. At the end. Here's the appeal. Americans, well, let me back up a little bit. It says, this is what Sabbath is about. He had just explained what Sabbath is about, and it's really close to what we should be doing. Okay? This is what Sabbath is about. It creates the space in our lives for us to remember who we are, to remember that we are players in a different story. Americans work too hard, maybe too hard. This is an invitation to Jews, Hindus, Muslims, atheists, agnostics, Buddhist Christians. One day a week, rest for God's sake. When all these people realize that resting is a good idea, what day will be chosen to rest? For those of you that have been here throughout this series on the Sabbath, we gave a foundation and we went through certain biblical principles the first time, then we continued the second time, and now is the third time. So what I'm going to quickly do is just go right through all the ones that we've seen. If you have not been here, I suggest you just write the Bible text down and let the Lord help you as you study these texts. But one thing, like the children's story, you know, as Adventists, one thing we do know is Well, sometimes I hear it said, well, this is the way I keep Sabbath. All I'm saying is, don't tune out the Holy Spirit. Don't lower the volume, because this is how you've done it for all these years, and this is acceptable, and somebody else wants to do it, that's fine. Well, remember at the beginning I said that God gave us Sabbath, which is the most important day. And he also has given us instructions, biblical principles on how to keep the Sabbath. I believe it's important. Very important. And sometimes there's a little mistake that goes on that happens with some parents, is that because they were brought up a certain way, with their children are born, they're going to say, I'm not going to do what my mother did to us. So what happens is they go to the other extreme. If they were held in check by the mom, then the other extreme is Sabbath comes around, come to church, do whatever you want. Leave me alone. I'm tired. I've been working all week. Let's think about that for a little bit. All right, here we go. Ezekiel 20, 12 and 20. To keep the Sabbath holy means to reverence the Sabbath. I mean, give it respect to the utmost. Okay, the whole 24 hours, they're not ours, they're God's. And he has asked us to please keep this day in reverence and respect. Exodus 28 through 11, that's the commandment about the Sabbath. It says to remember the Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath means that you think about it all week. I gave you the example when, when I had a date with my wife, I didn't just make a date and say, well, let's plan to go out on Thursday and think about it that Thursday morning when I got there. No, I was thinking about it all week. And was planning where to go, where to take a Taco Bell or whatever, where are we going to go eat, and all those things, you just think about it. Why? Because that day, that date is going to be very special. And each week, that date with Sabbath, with the Lord here, Sabbath day, is very, very special. Today, you are having a date with the Lord. Exodus 28, 11, the other principle is keep it holy means to keep it holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y. It's complete. The Lord wants to give you a complete blessing, not just a half blessing or a quarter blessing. You know, sometimes we pray, Lord, send us a double portion of the Holy Spirit. Why not the complete portion? Oh, the whole thing, you know. God wants to bless us in the Sabbath day. He wants to pour out the blessings. He wants to give us a taste of what heaven will be here on earth when we come to him on the Sabbath. We're going to be worshiping together throughout eternity on the seventh day. Throughout eternity. Could you imagine? Not only us, but millions, maybe even billions of people worshiping. How is that going to sound as we sing, glory, glory to the Lamb? So Isaiah 58, 13 and 14. The Sabbath is made to be a happy day. Happy day. And I know the devil tries to make it an unhappy day. Those of you that still have children at home, you know how it is, the struggles to get children ready. And then just for some reason, just about when you're ready to go out the door, something happens. Sister threw orange juice on brother's face or... and you have to be referee, or you know, all kinds of things happen. No, that has never happened with Michael and Larissa. But there were other things that happened, and you have your share of things that happen on Friday evening or Sabbath just before you get in church, or out in the parking lot. You're still wrestling your kids down trying to do something. It's a happy day. It should be a happy day. Isaiah 58 is, we lay aside our own words, work, pleasures, and cares. Our own works, our own pleasures, our own cares. Remember that little song, praise song that we sing, I cast all my cares upon you. Well, let's cast all our cares upon him this morning and not forget about those cares, because tomorrow, Sunday morning, those cares are still going to be there. So why not try to forget them, at least in the 24 hours that the Lord has asked us to be in tune with him? We lay aside our own words, works, pleasures, and cares on the Sabbath day. And again, these are biblical principles for certain things that we do. And sometimes we think, why do we do these things? Exodus 16:23, Luke 23:53-56. That's the biblical principle of preparing our things, homes, our persons, cleaning up the house. We do that on the sixth day to be ready for the Sabbath. Now, I was mentioning just the last time that, you know, we don't preach much about the preparation day. We preach a lot about Friday, about Sabbath and Sunday. We preach a lot about that. But the preparation day sometimes goes unnoticed. It's the preparation day that we are getting ready for the Sabbath. And last time I mentioned, does that mean that we cannot prepare a salad on the Sabbath? No, it doesn't mean we can't prepare a salad on the Sabbath. But it does mean that we need to be careful on how much activity, how much of a meal you're preparing, that if the meal has taken more of your time and you're all stressed out about that meal rather than the Sabbath day and the day that you're spending with God, then there's something wrong. There's something wrong because the Lord wants you to be in total communion with him on the 24 hours that he gives us. Ladies, if I'll say ladies in general, and I'll say ladies if you're single, and ladies that are married, if your husband took you to a dinner, and ladies, if you're single, if your friend took you to a dinner, and you're sitting there in a very nice romantic place, and you're sitting down, and your husband, your friend is sitting right across from you, and he has his iPad or phone, and he's sitting right there, and he's, oh yeah, yeah, oh, order whatever you want. Pretty soon you'd wonder if he has a date with his iPad and iPhone or if he has a date with you, wouldn't you? And those of you that are married, you would probably kick him. Those of you that are single, you're probably, you know, kind of. But sometimes we do that with the Lord. He comes to us, asks us to be with him for 24 hours, and we let other things take our attention away from him. And we're like, yeah, Lord, hold that thought. We prepare ourselves for Sabbath. We prepare our hearts we prepare our homes. And the Lord is in our home every time, but for some reason, Sabbath is extra special. Sabbath, we want our homes to be clean, not only for the guests that we might invite, but because we have a date with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Very important. All right. So this is where we left off. Nehemiah 10:31. Wow, I should do another color next time. It's Nehemiah 10:31 and chapter 13 and verse 15 through 22. So if you have your Bibles, if you open them to Nehemiah, please, we're going to read these texts. Nehemiah 10:31. All right, this is what Nehemiah 10:31 says. If the peoples of the land brought wares or any grain to sell on the Sabbath day, we would not buy it from them on the Sabbath or on a holy day, and we would forego the seventh year's produce and the exacting of every debt. And if you go to chapter 13 of Nehemiah, I'll begin reading verse 15. Listen to what's happening here. All right, 13, verse 15. In those days I saw people in Judah treading wine presses on the Sabbath and bringing in sheaves, loading donkeys with wine, grapes, figs, and all kinds of burdens, which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. And I, who's that I? That I is Nehemiah. I warned them about the day on which they were selling provisions. So here we have those that in Judah, they were doing their thing. Sabbath, Nehemiah would walk around, and some would be there in those wine presses type of thing, but they were jumping in and, you know, with their feet. And there were some others that were putting figs and grapes on donkeys and all kinds of things, and they were working on the Sabbath day. He warned them, please don't do this on the Sabbath day. Verse 16. Men of Tyre dwelt there also, who brought in fish and all kinds of goods and sold them on the Sabbath to the children of Judah and in Jerusalem. So here we have those that were not from Judah, but they were from another country, and they were bringing fish and all kinds of wares, and they were selling them to those that were in Judah. So what were the Jews doing? Also, they were breaking the Sabbath by what? Buying those things that the others were bringing in on the Sabbath day. 17. Then I contended with the nobles of Judah and said to them, what evil thing is this that you do by which you profane the Sabbath day? You profane the Sabbath day. Now, I looked up this word profane. The definition of profane is treating something sacred with irreverence or disrespect. When something is sacred and you don't treat it like it should be treated, you're profaning that sacred thing. In this case, we're talking about the Sabbath. When we do not treat it or keep it like it should be kept, we're profaning the Sabbath. So we continue reading. He contended with the nobles. What evil thing is this that you do by which you profane the Sabbath day? Verse 18. Did not your fathers do thus, and did not our God bring all this disaster on us, on this city? Yet you bring at it wrath on Israel by profaning the Sabbath. So it was, verse 19, at the gates of Jerusalem as it began to be dark before the Sabbath, that I commanded the gates to be shut. Nehemiah says, shut the gates. And charge that they must not be opened till after the Sabbath. Then I posted some of my servants at the gates so that no burdens would be brought in on the Sabbath day. Verse 20. Now, the merchants and the sellers of all kinds of wares lodged outside Jerusalem once or twice. Then I warned them and said to them, why do you spend the night around the wall? If you do this again, I will lay hands on you. This is Nehemiah. I will lay hands on you. From that time on, they came no more on the Sabbath. And I commanded the Levites that they should cleanse themselves and that they should go and guard the gates to sanctify the Sabbath day. Then he says, remember me, O my God, concerning this also, and spare me according to the greatness of your mercy. Nehemiah was seeing that the Sabbath day was being profaned. Why? Because people were selling and buying on the Sabbath day. They were carrying on with commercial business. And Nehemiah came to the point where he said, hey, if you don't stop, I will physically make you stop. This is our principle on why we do no buying or selling on the Sabbath day. There are other texts, but the Lord does not want us to do business as usual on the Sabbath day. No buying. Central Point right now is busy. It's like a cars going here to and fro. It's their huge, all citywide garage sales. You should see the people getting out like running because they have to go to all 1,000 of them. And yet we're here. Hopefully you're not thinking, oh, I wish it was on a Sunday. No buying, no selling on the Sabbath. Business matters are not discussed on the Sabbath day. Remember the little story that they say about the two brothers that they met outside in the parking lot on a Sabbath day. And they're there standing on the side of their cars in the parking lot after the worship service. And one of them says to the other one, you know, if it were not Sabbath, I'd tell you that I'm selling my car. The other one thinks about it for a little bit. Well, you know, if it were not Sabbath, I'd ask you how much you're asking for it. Well, if it were not Sabbath, I'd tell you that I'm wanting $1,500, but you know, it's the Sabbath day, so we can't talk about business. Well, if it weren't the Sabbath, I'd tell you that I'd be there tomorrow and take a look at it, maybe. Yeah, I'll get it from you. See you later. Have a happy Sabbath. Somehow we rationalize, we have ways of getting around doing things that we want to do on the Sabbath day, and you know how it is. You know how it is. I've heard it said, Pastor, I'm pulling the ox out of the ditch. Sometimes I think to myself, yeah, but did you kick the ox in the ditch? Did you push the ox in the ditch? I was in a U-Haul store one day, and I saw a sign, and I said, wow, that's a sign that I'm going to use over and over in different situations, different sermons. And here it is. Here's what I saw. Your lack of planning does not constitute an emergency. Sometimes we think, Lord, forgive me, it's an emergency. I understand emergencies. And even emergencies, I went, talk about feeling uncomfortable. I went to the emergency room because I really needed to go to the emergency room on a Friday evening. I was in pain, really bad pain. And I had to go to the emergency room, and that did not, I mean, I was in pain, I needed to go, and I felt uncomfortable. And the worst thing about it, when I was done, they gave me a prescription, which meant that 9:30 in the evening, Sabbath of all days, I have to hobble to the pharmacy and buy prescription for my intense pain that I was having. Now, I'm being honest with you. I felt really, really uncomfortable about doing that. Am I saying that you shouldn't? No, that's an emergency. Those things happen. I mean, if your child has a fever of 105, you're going to say, well, it's the Sabbath. I can't go out and get anything. The Lord understands. But if our lack of planning then makes us think that it's an emergency, then we need to think. Was it our lack of planning? We have a preparation day to get ready for the Sabbath. And that includes gassing up our cars. I'm not afraid of telling you, or because it's the truth. I've had a time or two where I thought it was an emergency. No, but it was really my lack of planning, because I was traveling from here to a place where I needed to be, and it wasn't even a where I'm going to speak. It was just vacation, and I sort of somehow I rationalized myself into driving Sabbath morning instead of being the place of worship where I needed to be. And wouldn't you know it, Sabbath morning, Eldon, I'm driving there, and it's E, and I'm praying to the Lord. Oh, you know, like all those stories we hear about driving 500 miles on an empty tank. No, that didn't happen. And unfortunately, you have to stop and break the Sabbath, buying and selling on the Sabbath day. Does the Lord forgive? Of course he does. Does that mean that should we continue doing that which we did because he forgives? No. No. My lack of planning does not constitute an emergency. Is it still there in the records? I hope not. I confessed my sin, and I've asked for forgiveness, and there's a promise in the Bible about that. But we should also learn about how important the Sabbath day is. Leviticus 23:32. Another principle of Sabbath. Leviticus 23. There are a lot of texts for this principle, by the way. I don't have time to go through all of them, but let's just look at this one here, Leviticus 23:32. It shall be to you a Sabbath of solemn rest, and you shall afflict your souls on the ninth day of the month, at evening, from evening to evening, you shall celebrate your Sabbath. And Nehemiah, let's go back to Nehemiah 13, chapter 13, and verse 19. So it was at the gates of Jerusalem, as it began to be dark before the Sabbath, that I commanded the gates to be shut and charged that they must not be opened till after the Sabbath. So the principle here and how we keep Sabbath is from Friday evening at sunset to Saturday evening at sunset, 24 hours. Now, in the summertime, it's pretty easy to keep the Sabbath for those of you that work Monday through Friday. But in the winter, it gets a little bit sticky. Because if you get out at 5:30, you have two choices. You either break the Sabbath or ask for the Sabbath. When sundown is around 4:50, you know, what do? Do you ask the Lord forgiveness for 10 minutes? Or do you ask for the Sabbath day? Or do you ask to leave a half hour early? Now notice, I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just putting it before you. This is what happens. Because I've been there. Yes, I have not always been a pastor. I've worked heating and air conditioning for a while, and when I was growing up, I worked in places where the Sabbath, was always the first thing I told them. I'd like to work here. I'll work here any day, any shift, whatever you want, evening, morning, whatever. But from sundown Friday to sundown Saturday evening, I will not work. I could come after sundown Saturday evening and do whatever you want. Repair or do whatever the other guys left for me. And if they left it intentionally, I will do that. I don't care. But I'm not here. That is the Lord's Sabbath day. I will not be here. And on Friday evenings, I would like to be excused at 4:30. I'll make up that half hour. Any day you want me to, any time you want me to, I'll make that up for you. Surprisingly, most employers work with you on that. But why do we do this? Simply because the Lord has asked us to keep the Sabbath day from sundown to sundown. Okay? So the principle is here that where we get the Sabbath is measured from sunset to sunset. And in the book of Genesis, when creation was happening, there you go. One day was from sundown to sundown. Another principle, Leviticus 23:3. Let's look at Leviticus 23:3. It says, 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work on it. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. So the principle here is that the Sabbath is a holy convocation. Is it a holy gathering of the saints? God wants us to come together for public worship. How many of you have this book? All right, good. Because this month, Pastor Dwight Nelson is covering what we're going through, believe it or not. I didn't plan this, by the way. I did not plan this at all. But the month of April, Elder Nelson talks about the importance of the Sabbath. And I want you to listen to this, April 28. Okay? If you don't have this book, I would recommend you get this book just for April, because it talks about the importance of the Sabbath. Now, April 28, it starts with, it's April 24. April 28 is today. April 24, the title of it is The Fireplace Ember. And the text that they use is Hebrews 10, 24 through 37. Let us consider this, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. It is that text. You could read it at home. Hebrews 10, 24 through 37. But listen to what it says, because in the text they have a capital D when they mentions as so much the more as you see the day approaching. That day approaching has a capital D. And then he says, what is this capital D all about that appears in the text? Read a little further in the chapter, and it's clear that the author is describing the second coming of Jesus Christ. And what's the point? Well, if you want to be in the portrait then, you've got to get in the group picture now. And then it says, the closer the day of Christ draws to us, and there was a question that was asked, do you believe that Jesus Christ is coming soon? And you are, most of you said, yes, praise the Lord that he's coming soon, and we want him to come soon. So, if the closer the day of Christ draws to us, the closer we must draw to each other on Christ's day, the Sabbath. You'll not find a stronger appeal for communal Sabbath worship anywhere else in the Scripture. And then it goes on, it says, which being interpreted means that the days of skipping church and absenting ourselves from worship are over. We've been too laissez-faire about Sabbath worship, treating it too often as an optional choice based upon a personal whim. I don't think I'll go today. I don't feel like it. But the passion, it says, of Hebrews 10 declares that forsaking the assembling of ourselves together must come to an end in the light of the soon coming Savior. Corporate worship is linked to personal readiness for his return. Let it be repeated. If we want to be in the portrait then, we must get into the group picture now. How much further on the edge does this world need to teeter before we get it? Nobody needs to parse the headlines for us in order for us to affirm that we are living on the edge of eternity. Now, more than ever, we need each other every Sabbath. And then he tells the story of Dwight L. Moody, the great American evangelist. He was visiting the home of a businessman. And the businessman said this, they were sitting by the fire, by the fireplace, and this man kept, the way he puts it here, waxing eloquently about the fact why he shouldn't be in church. As a matter of fact, he said, after all, he found it much more satisfying to worship God alone with a good book or a walk in nature or some quiet Bible study time. Who needs the fuss and the bother of crowded pews and inconvenient travel? I'll just stay home and watch 3ABN. Moody never said a word. He went over to the fireplace, took up the tongs, and pulled a red-hot piece of coal from the crackling fire. He slid the burning ember onto the hearth away from the flames and left it there. The two men, in silence, stared at that bright piece of coal that slowly but surely lost its fire and glow until it eventually was nothing more than a wisp of smoke and a piece of cold, charred coal. That is what Satan wants for you. He wants to pull you out of where the fire is happening, make you rationalize that it's all right. I could be alone in nature. I could be reading a good book. I could be doing this and not come to this corporate worship. Sabbath is a holy convocation. And when he does that the first time, it's kind of hard. The second time, it gets a little bit easier. The third time, wouldn't you know it, gets even a little bit easier. The fourth, and pretty soon, you find yourself out. And pretty soon, you begin to wax cold. Luke, let's go back to that. Luke 4:16 and Acts 16:13. In the New Testament, this is where the people came together and they assembled on the Sabbath day for public worship. Understand me that there, every day should be a day of worship. We could worship the Lord on our own. We could individually worship whenever we want. But the Sabbath day is a holy convocation where we come together as a church and publicly worship the Lord. How do you enrich the Sabbath hours? Well, there are three things that you could enrich the Sabbath hours with. One, the Bible. I mean, it is the Word of God. So in the afternoon when you have, you know, you've rested and you want something to enrich your Sabbath hours, get the Bible out. Read the stories. Read promises. Read about the fact that Jesus Christ is coming soon. Read about anything that the Lord impresses you to read. The Bible is a good thing to use. The hymn book. Wow. Or the praise book. Basically, what I'm trying to say here is that keep a song in your heart. The hymn book, there's a praise book there. You have some at home. And the other thing that I would recommend, I have this book titled Amazing Grace, 366 Inspiring Hymn Stories. There's another book that's the companion to the hymnal that gives a story of every hymn, how it was written, why it was written, who wrote it, and things like that. And it just makes it come alive when you read the history behind a certain hymn. But the thing is that main point is to keep a song in our heart. Sing. And Pastor, I don't know how to sing. Hum. I don't know how to hum either. Do something. Play spoons. I don't know. Just praise the Lord with every instrument that you might have. I had an instrument here. I'm looking at it because there were some. I can't find it. Here it is. Because I can't play anything. Well, you could play one of these. I mean, you just put it at a teeth, you bite it, and it goes thong, 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 thong. praise the Lord. That's the whole point here. Praise the Lord with music, with singing. Keep a song in your heart. The other thing that we could do to enrich the Sabbath hours is the book of nature. You know, there's nothing wrong with going out and praising the Lord as a family out in nature. And I'd say even if you say, well, this Sabbath we're going to go worship as a family out in nature, and we're going to camp and we're going to worship. That's okay. That's okay. Just keep it in mind that it is the Sabbath day. And it has to be kept with reverence and respect, whether you're in the mountains or whether we're worshiping here together. God expects us to keep that Sabbath day holy. Keep it with reverence and respect. Matthew 12:12 is another principle that we use for Sabbath. Matthew 12:12. Oh, how much more value then is a man than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath day. So a principle for Sabbath is we take sunshine and healing and comfort to those that are needing that. When I was at Andrews, I remember I was invited to preach at Bering Springs. I was invited to preach in a Spanish church in Chicago. That's about a 2.5-hour drive from Bering Springs, I think. I preached Sabbath morning, and then in the afternoon, I was at my friend's home, 3-story building. He lived in the bottom level, first floor, and we're sitting there having lunch, and then all of a sudden we hear this commotion, like the building was being emptied. All the people running out, all the tenants. I mean, it was a mad rush. And we were wondering what's going on. So, you know, when that's happening, you run out too. Well, there was a fire on the third floor. By the time they called all the engines and everything, I mean, the bottom floor was basically a swimming pool. So what did I end up doing Sabbath afternoon? Saying, oh, well, it's still the Sabbath. I'm not going to do anything. No, you roll up your, take out your suit, roll up your sleeves, and start moving furniture because that family did not have a place to go Saturday night. That's bringing comfort to a family. You can't just say, oh, well, it's the Sabbath day. The Lord has asked me to do no work. Yeah, he's asked you to do no work. But that's for your livelihood. But then when there's a need, and if you could help, then go ahead and help. That's why we visit people in the nursing homes. You thought it was a unwritten law of the Seventh-day Adventist Church that every member has to visit people in the nursing homes? No. It's because we believe that we take that sunshine, that we have that smile, and we go visit people, children of God, brothers and sisters of ours that might be in a nursing home, in a care facility, in the hospital. You know, I grew up with a lot of do's and don'ts. Just like some of you. And now, as I'm older, I say, you know, the do's and don'ts, they're still applicable. But I didn't like them back then. But you know what? the don'ts. I think the do's outweigh the don'ts. Because there's a lot of things that we could do on the Sabbath day. You could visit your friends, you could visit family, you could, you know, go out on nature walks, you could, I mean, if I start making a list, I'm not a betting man. Can I say I bet you here on the Sabbath? But I know that I could come up with a list of more do's than don'ts. For some reason, we have a tendency of focusing on the don'ts. But there's a lot of things that we could do on the Sabbath day. Sabbath day is a happy day. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. And by the way, this is the last point, so you could breathe. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And let's read one more text, Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4 and verses 9 and 10. Because this is the ultimate goal of Sabbath, the ultimate goal of Sabbath observance. Here it is. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God, for he has entered his rest, has himself, if also, ceased from his works as God did from his. The ultimate goal is to bring you closer to God. The ultimate goal of the Sabbath is for us to grow in that relationship with Jesus Christ. The Sabbath, I'm going to say this, and I hope you understand it in the context of the whole series that we've been going through. The Sabbath will not save you. Jesus Christ, the one that created the Sabbath, will. The Sabbath is not this magical 24-hour period that if we strive to keep it and we check all the do's and don'ts, and we've done it correctly for so many years. The Sabbath is not something that if you keep the Sabbath totally, totally, just with everything, you could say, I'm going to heaven. There's a person that's going to be in heaven because he or she kept all the Ten Commandments. The person that's going to be in heaven is because he or she loved Jesus Christ so much and wanted a relationship with Jesus Christ so close. And yes, this person that they loved so much said to them, if you love me, keep my commandments. In other words, our response for keeping the Sabbath is not out of something that we have to do. It is something that we love to do because we love Jesus Christ. Sabbath is important. But I see the Sabbath as a tool to get us closer in our relationship with Jesus Christ. It's very important that we understand about the Sabbath. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 119:18, "Open my eyes that I may behold the wonderful things from your law. I thought the law was not a wonderful thing. The law just keeps us from doing all the fun stuff that we want to do. No. Open my eyes that I may behold the wonderful things from your law. I tried in for Sabbath to bring you what Ed Andrews took probably a whole quarter or a whole year to try to explain. But I hope you gain a blessing from going over that which we already know. But sometimes a refresher is a good thing. And I just pray that as we continue to wait for the second coming of Jesus Christ, that our understanding of the Sabbath, what he has asked us, how to keep the Sabbath, that we may continue to grow and to learn, but most important, that our relationship with Jesus Christ may continue to flourish. That is why I chose the hymn, the closing hymn, number 456. Let me just share with you something here. First stanza says, I have a friend so precious, so very dear to me. And here it is. He loves me with such tender love. He loves so faithfully. The song that we heard, the special music, talked about that amazing love and that amazing grace. And I pray that our response to keeping Sabbath is not because it's Sabbath, but it's because we love Jesus so much and he has asked us to keep it holy, that our response would be to keep the Sabbath holy because we love what he has done for each one of us.